Trump has misled people into following a monstrous and inhumane ideology of, quote, life unworthy of life. It has taken generations to try to heal the wounds, and they remain. This is why, after the Second World War, Germany swore an oath upon which our Constitution is based. Never again will we allow ourselves to be ruled by fascism. Without the participation of the United States, the Allies would not have succeeded in liberating Germany from the terror of National Socialism. For this, we remain deeply grateful. Without your country, Germany would not have a democracy today. And then they say this unites our two countries, and this is why we are appealing to you so urgently today to warn all Americans your democracy is in danger. I'm running out of time now, but that's sort of what they're, it definitely kept it out, Grands United against fascism in Germany. And but once again, democracy doesn't collapse all at once. It erodes, and especially when this form of violent power is normalized, and this use of this grab for voter data is just more grab for power and leverage against the rest of us. And yeah, and right now our rights have become conditional based on the whims of the narcissist in chief, and now enforcement of the law has become is replacing consent. I mean, this law that whatever serves their needs at this moment. So I hope that we can continue to push back and continue this conversation. I will be hosting the call-in show again tomorrow morning on Thursday, and we'll talk more about this then. Thank you for calling in. This is KBOO, and I'm Jacqueline Keeler.
You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. The time is 9:01 a.m.
If you think the art of...
I am Dr. Demento. I am here in a land of happy, freaky people. KBOO Portland.
New year, new KBOO. Thank you to everyone who contributed and supported us during our KBOO Fights Back end-of-year campaign. With help from our community, we exceeded our $75,000 goal and will be able to continue bringing you grassroots, independent community radio.
Conversation is dead. You probably haven't listened to Jonesy. Or maybe you have. In any case, Jonesy brings you conversations with some of the most interesting people in the world of books, podcasts, radio, theater, music, food, and humor, guaranteed to entertain and enlighten. I should know, I'm the host of Jonesy, Ken Jones. No relation, by the way. A tagline I've long since beaten into the ground. So tune into KBOO on air or online every second and fourth Thursday of the month at 10:30 a.m.
Welcome to Sprouts, Radio from the Grassroots, a weekly program that showcases radio production by independent community media. We bring local stories to a global audience, produced at a different location every week. I'm Ursula Rudenberg from Pacifica Network, and today we go to Ukraine in the dead of winter. With temperatures plummeting, Russia has begun unleashing its most severe attacks yet on Ukraine's energy infrastructure. The goal is to maximize civilian suffering. A state of energy emergency has been declared, and Ukrainian President Zelensky has reported on what he called updated Russian tactics without giving specifics. Russia has started targeting substations for nuclear power plants, triggering widespread outages of electricity, water, and heating in Kyiv and across the country. Kyiv residents get electricity for a few hours a day, and many are without water or heat. Neighbors share hot water, food, warm clothes. One reporter gave his firsthand account of people living in tents inside their own apartments, which have freezing temperatures. People are borrowing army bedding from their relatives in the military. Ukrainian President Zelensky commented, "Russia must understand that the cold will not help it win the war." During this past Christmas season, DTEC, Ukraine's largest energy company, published a stunningly defiant and beautiful video that contrasts the destruction of a bombed power plant with the dedication of its energy workers. It is an appeal for support for restoration of Ukraine's energy infrastructure. It shows known classical musicians and singers performing before an audience of plant workers in the damaged turbine hall of a thermal power plant. They perform Shedrik, written by Ukrainian composer Mykola Leontovich, based on an old Ukrainian folk song. The song later became known worldwide as Carol of the Bells. Oleksandr Kutoishin and Yurina Skoroshut are part of the team that produced this video. Here, they speak with us from Kyiv and share with us the remarkable culture that restores energy infrastructure. I started out by asking them to tell us a little bit about who DTEC company is.
DTEC is the largest energy investor in Ukraine. Actually, most of the energy companies in Ukraine belong to the state of Ukraine. DTEC is the biggest private companies. We have several businesses. One is thermal power. The second one is grids. The third one is renewable energy sources. The fourth one is oil and gas. And we also have distribution, and DTEC Trading and Yasna are two brands which actually sell electricity and gas to large or small private entities.
You said that most energy is state-owned in Ukraine,
yeah.
And you're the largest private energy company. How is the market then get divided up?
It's all combined. Because of the war, we are all connected in one market.
So you're on the same grid as the government energy companies.
Yeah, this is one of the reasons why our energy system is resilient, because we have nuclear power plants, hydropower plants, thermal power plants, gas power plants, renewables energy. And this energy mix gave this resilience for Ukraine. Ukraine is divided into oblast region. So we operate in Kyiv region, in Odessa, Dnipropetrovsk, and Donetsk. We operate grid in these regions. So that means that if there are electricity cutoffs, we are the ones who communicate this within our regions.
Are you the producers of this video? Was this your concept?
Yeah, our team.
Has this been a long time in planning?
No, actually 2 weeks from the idea.
Oh my God.
This was very dynamic for us.
Yeah, you know, like within the war, we are living in a really dynamic time frame. So actually, when we have some initiatives, we try to make it in a couple of days or 2 or 3 weeks. So that's the reality, because we need to rapidly react to the things that are happening.
What were you hoping to accomplish with this video? Who were you aiming it really at?
Both internal narratives within Ukraine and show to the world that we are standing, but we still need your help. All of the Ukrainians like the video, and this feeling seems very native to us. There are nice people standing and singing this song we all know in Ukraine. For us, it's Shedrik, and which the whole world knows as the Carol of the Bells. And they try to bring a Christmas mood and say that we have hope. It seems very apocalyptic, but we are here because this is our land and this is how we cope with the problem. This is one of the ways to also to show this contrast of hope. Overall, people in Ukraine do not actually know how the grid works. And of course, it's very hard within the regular life to live within this electricity cutoffs, because of course, this is kind of a very strange life of such devastation when you can't enter your home because the elevator doesn't work or the water can't enter after the 10th floor. And to know that part of our families go to war. You're living in a war and you have to plan because of the schedules and you don't want to do this. And, you know, this is very uncomfortable. And they know that the Russians try to psychologically influence us. And 4 years of war is kind of a feeling that you live in this situation for your whole life. But it's not true. We didn't live in war for your whole life. And sometimes you forget about this. That's why you need to give a feeling of hope for the internal Ukrainian audience.
Some of the things that I heard you say was the video acknowledges the devastation that's happening and it is expressing the humanity and their spirit to reinforce humanity by using the Shedrick song to support Ukrainian culture as well.
Yeah, it kind of also act of resistance because we show that we still have Christmas and you know that we now celebrate Christmas on 25th of December prior. Because of the Soviet Union, you were celebrating in January. They know that. So we show our resistance. And Shedrick song, it's also in some way the act of resistance.
We were trying to use this symbolic music performance with a well-known worldwide composition performed by 21 famous Ukrainian classical musicians. There was an orchestra and this musical, symbolic, emotional call for people all around the world. The aim was to try to persuade people to keep supporting Ukraine and to call to national partners to still support Ukrainian energy infrastructure, resources for the equipment, and air defense.
The aim of Russia is just to leave Ukrainians without electricity.
Russia is actually attacking energy infrastructure on a daily basis in this region, like that region, 24/7. Our thermal power plants were attacked more than 210 times since the full-scale invasion. Russia is also attacking substations, especially those who are connected to the nuclear power plants as well. This is something new this year in different regions, trying to make difficulties for a distribution of energy from one region to another. That's why this video is calling for international support with resources for the equipment and especially air defense, because dozens of rockets and drones are attacking thermal power plants. So it's really difficult to save the equipment, especially when energy workers are repairing something for 6, 7 months, 12 months. And then in a couple of minutes, everything is destroyed. So that's why it's important to do both air defense and help with equipment for faster recovery.
In the video, this was a thermal power plant. How old was it?
All of the Tech thermal power plants were built in the Soviet times, so half of a century at least.
Is the power plant being restored?
All of the thermal power plants that are attacked in Ukraine are being restored 24/7. It's an ongoing process everywhere because we have attacks continuing all the time. Russia is attacking huge crucial equipment like transformers, turbines, machinery inside the thermal power plant. It's attacking the building of the thermal power plant itself, as you might see in the video, like there is no roof in part of the station.
And can you say how long does it take to restore a plant like this so that it can function again?
Well, it really depends on the attack. Sometimes it takes days, weeks, months.
Uh-huh. How large of a role does thermal power play in Ukraine? What part of the energy system does it hold up?
Any thermal power plant is crucial because it's providing electricity for thousands and sometimes even millions of Ukrainians. So that's why actually it's the target for Russia for the fourth year in a row. Thermal generation itself, it's helping to balance the energy, for example, morning peaks or evening peaks, and is especially crucial for winter when the consumption is growing rapidly. So that's exactly why Russian army is trying to hit thermal power plants. So that's why it's really important to recover any thermal power plant as quick as possible, what energy workers are trying to do all the time.
And the energy workers know that if they do not operate this, there will be more severe electricity cutoff.
Usually it takes weeks to months just to clean damage after any single attack. And then there is a huge work to check equipment problems. For example, when Russians are attacking transformers, which are crucial.
The workers must have learned what to do during the attacks and then what to do immediately after.
Thermal power stations were attacked 2 and 3 days before the full-scale invasion. So already at that time, the company were prepared for the situation. And also actually the occupation and the aggression of Russia has started in 2014, the occupation of Crimea, Donbass. And at that time, the company also lost assets in the eastern part of Ukraine, in Crimea. And that's why from that time, there was a crisis organization inside the company who was already prepared in how to react in that kind of situations.
Unfortunately, like in 2024, we lost 90% of capacity from our thermal power plants. And a big part of it was restored. A big part.
I wanted to ask you about how it's possible to restore these power plants and to keep energy going. How do you actually manage to accomplish that?
There is a synergy all the time. On one hand, there are huge investments of the company into the equipment and huge support from international countries. And we are very thankful that countries are supporting these efforts and providing energy equipment. And on the other hand, there is willing people that are working 24/7 at the station.
Actually, when you enter after the missile or rocket or the drone, it's very apocalyptic. It's how I experienced it. The station is a very big organism and it's very hard even to get to some of the parts of the station. So when you come to the station and you actually see how the workers continue, they are managing still to work every day, just simply doing their work.
So cleaning up the damage has become part of their job, you're saying?
Yeah. And I think this all lies within the people who work at the station because they work tens of years, their families work. So this is like a very dynastical profession. Their brothers, sisters, their parents worked on the station and all of them are professionals. And we know that this is not a front line, but...
It's a kind of a front line, isn't it?
It's a kind of a front line and they know that. And actually, they are the target also, so it's very dangerous. And they also know that.
Unfortunately, because of the attacks on the stations, there were 59 energy workers injured since the full-scale invasion, and 4 were killed because of these attacks. Some crucial people need to be at the station even during attack, because the damage after the attack would be more crucial if not to make right steps during attack.
Wow. So it really is frontline work.
Yes.
Yeah. How many thermal power plants are there in Ukraine?
There are 5 DTEC thermal power plants operating in the control territory. And of course, we have also state-owned thermal power plants in Ukraine as well. Since the full-scale invasion, we have lost 3 huge thermal power plants in occupation. Zaporizhka thermal power plant, Luhansk thermal power plant, and in 2025, the last huge thermal power plant in Donbas region, Kurakhivska thermal power plant.
The thermal stations in the occupied areas, are they still operating? Do you know?
Unfortunately, we don't know because we don't control them. The damage within the occupation is huge.
Thank you.
You just heard Shedrick, performed by classical singers and musicians in a turbine hall of a thermal power plant damaged by Russian attack. This is the audio of a stunningly beautiful and defiant video produced by the Ukrainian energy company DTEK. The video is meant as a public appeal for support for restoration of Ukraine's energy infrastructure. I'm Ursula Rudenberg, speaking with Oleksandr Kutareshin and Irina Skorochot, who are part of the team that produced this video. They've been sharing with us some of the realities behind maintaining energy in Ukraine, the challenges of war, and the uniquely synergistic culture and dedication of energy workers. The video is called Christmas Carol of the Bells, performed at Destroyed DTEK Thermal Power Plant. It can be found at DTEK.com, that's DTEK.com, YouTube, and any social media. You were both there when it was filmed?
Yeah.
What was it like being there?
Very cold.
You said it was very cold?
Yeah.
As you might see, there is no roof. In previous winter, energy workers in thermal power plants work under the rain or snow because there are like holes in the roof. So sometimes they're using wooden barrels just to feel warm when the attacks are going. Yeah.
So these musicians and singers were doing this in the cold?
Yeah, we tried to do our best for them to be in a good shape. Of course, there was a room which was heated. Of course, they had opportunity to go for a quick restoration time. Then they drank tea. But nevertheless, it seems like you are on the streets. It was that cold because the winter in Ukraine now, it's not very comfortable.
Who were the performers?
The artists are Ukrainian group called Svitlo Concert.
They're a Ukrainian group.
All of them are Ukrainians from regions of Ukraine.
And they do a lot of concerts with candlelight, right?
Yeah.
Svitlo in Ukrainian is light, so it has also symbolic meaning. So a very nice framing of what we are trying to bring up to the surface.
Yeah, yeah. There were like 21 performers from Svitlo Concert, and they united the orchestra in this performance.
You had to enlist them pretty quickly if you had to contact them and ask them to get organized in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was like a kind of a challenge, and we had only one option with the date, for example, because this is December. Yeah.
So you contacted them and they said, sure, we'll do it.
When they heard about this initiative, they really desired to make it happen, and it actually happened. That was really important that we felt this emotional support from the musicians. It was really emotional from the very beginning because, for example, musicians, they just arrive on the thermal power plant on the bus, and we personally meet one of the musicians. Her name was Anna, and she saw like two energy workers, and she just asked these energy workers, can I please hug you? She was almost crying because she said, you are doing really huge work for us.
Yeah, in the video, I don't think there is an audience except for the workers in the power plant, right? And they are in their work gear, they have work vests on and they have hard hats on. Some of them seem to actually be doing their work and are suddenly kind of discover this choir of people singing in the middle of the power plant. It has this feeling that they are in the middle of their job. So, I mean, are these people actually really working in the power plant?
Well, people are working on the power plants. So this was a more like artistic way to show their work, of course. But nevertheless, even when the station is damaged, people still have to operate because it's a critical infrastructure. A station is a big organism, life organism. And this is of high importance for people who work on the station. And actually, the workers love what they're doing. And what we saw in the video, it's what they feel for sure, because they know this song, they know the situation. And of course, they want to show up to the world that what they are doing. And for you just to understand that often these are the small cities which depend on the station. The station gives electricity and heat. So this is the central focal point for them. And that's why, of course, for them to see some of the damage on the station, it's a big pity. It's a big
pity. The workers that you see in the video are actually still working in that thermal power plant. The place has not been abandoned, correct?
No. Repair is going 24/7. All of the energy workers, so they are working at the plant itself. And actually, this is like tradition in Ukraine. there are like dynasties of families where like the father, the children afterwards working in the thermal power plant itself.
So it's a whole culture unto itself. So those people that you see in the videos, they really are working there. I mean, this isn't just for show. Did you get any reactions from them about how they experienced this performance?
Well, that was a unique experience for everyone. This kind of performance is unique. So that's why they were surprised.
Because in the video, they do look surprised. So that's not completely wrong. That's not acting, really. It really was kind of like that.
For sure. And usually those kind of thermal power plants are situated in a small cities where 15, 10, 20,000 people are working near the station. And actually, this is the event not only for the thermal power plant itself, but to the whole city. Most of the people are connected to the energy infrastructure.
So this thermal power plant was not in Kyiv?
We don't have thermal power plant in Kyiv.
So this was in a smaller community?
Yeah.
I wanted to ask about the smoke. It looks like the power plant was just attacked because there's smoke coming up.
We used some kind of a lighting to show the station because actually most of the machinery on the station is actually black because of the damages made. So actually all of the machinery is just burnt out and it's not too artistic for the video. So we used kind of a few special effects for the video in more artistic way, how the station looks like.
This reality with the smoke and the fire on any station is much more dramatic. For example, when rockets and drones are attacking any thermal power plant, the fire is lasting for many, many hours, could be days. For example, when the rocket or drone is hitting a transformer, it has oil inside and it's impossible to stop the fire for 24 hours. Hours or so before the oil will burn out. So the reality looks more dramatic when any thermal power plant is attacked.
And also how it must smell.
Yep. Well, actually, when you're inside, you still smell this even when the attack was a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm. And this was a Ukrainian film company that did it?
Yeah. Black Production. These are our partners. We showed them how we want this to be seen, but this was also their huge work for this video to look the way it is filmed. And this was their artistic job to do this. And it's very hard to do because it's the object of critical infrastructure. It is damaged. You can't go this way, or the way you can't film there. So there are a lot of restrictions. So the filming process was the whole day for them. And they did a great job.
And actually, that was a really unique experience for everyone because this was the first time when musicians were performing on the thermal power plant. And it was how to make this composition real, to keep all of the safety.
But during the performance, did you feel that spirit of humanity?
Yeah, you won't forget it. You feel this impact and you know that this will work because you hear it and you see it. Of course, we were a bit nervous, but I always try to think about what emotion, and the emotion was hope, and everybody feels it.
Thank you for describing all this. You mentioned earlier how frustrating it is to live this way, and this is being done this way to convince you to give up, kind of wear you down. Why don't people give up?
You know, before the war, if I was told such kind of information which you heard from us, I wouldn't even realize how this is even possible, because when you experience it on your own, this gives you actually a very different feeling. And this feeling is that everything is not the way we lived before the war, because actually we had a very comfortable, beautiful life and tried to build our own country the way we see it. And we built it as Ukrainians on our own terms. And we experience it with all of the spectrum of emotions. So the thing is that when you've already done this, you cannot give this away, because the historical momentum of many, many generations of Ukrainians. The war started, of course, in 2014 and the full scale in 2022. But when you realize it, it's not the first moment in history when Russia wants to capture all of Ukraine. I can't say that this is like an official position in any way, but this gives you a kind of a burden in a positive way, this kind of momentum is a historical momentum, very tragic. It's very hard. It's very devastating. But this is the moment when you can change the situation within the history of Ukraine. And we already did this. And that's why my own discomfort, what's that? Almost all of us have our families at the front line fighting. So that doesn't even give any glimpse of understanding how our armed forces live. At the moment, of course, this is very uncomfortable. But if you have more strategic and more historical aims, and in the long run, you have a bigger aim within this. It's my view.
That's why when any attack on the thermal power plant just finished, we have a lot of energy workers which were not supposed to be at the station, but they are coming to the station to help the others to recover equipment. That's why when the attack on any city is finished, we have the city services that are cleaning the city at 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. after the attack. So everyone is on the right place doing their job.
So the video depicts something very real.
Yeah.
I appreciate that, and I appreciate you sharing your thoughts with me too very much.
It was very nice meeting you. Bye-bye.
Thank you to our